tricky for us when we go through that estrogen withdrawal period. You know,
Wait, whether you see that now, Your Honor. You know, she didn't mean it. She didn't mean it. She just whacked out. It was a bad time. Her, you know, her cycle was going crazy, and she decided to put a knife in him. But the son of a bitch deserved it, Your Honor.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to the majority of women going through this.
Well, you know what I wonder on that note, Terry, is what do kids think about this? You know, growing up, I never understood as a young boy. I always thought like menopause was a dirty word. Yeah, I didn't really know. Like nobody really explained to me. I thought it was something like really dirty, like menopause. Like, oh, what is it that women do that? It's like when they shed their skin, like a spider that sheds their skin. Oh, that's gross, man. And this is what I thought as a little boy. You can see little Malcolm running around now and at the menopause. Oh, it's a spider that shedded his skin.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Well, today it's going to be like a whodunit thing. Menopause and murder. What those two have together with each other, the only thing I can assume is that if you are having a bad situation in the menopause time, that maybe you want to murder somebody. I don't know. But we'll ask. Dr. Andrea Pennington joins us from Monaco, and Terry Beatley joins us from the great state of Virginia. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. And Menopause and Murder is the title the producers gave us. And we just said to each other coming into the show, the connection of that is what, Malcolm? I mean, both ladies asked me that, by the way. They want me to answer that. Like, okay, so you want me to tell you what the women producers have with the concept of menopause and murder? I can't imagine what that is. I don't know. Let's start here. Terry, Dr. Andrea, have you both gone through menopause or are you doing it now?
Not yet. Not on my end over here.
And been there and done it.
Okay. Well, And I don't know if I've gone through it yet or not, but we're going to find out here on this show here for sure. So can men go through menopause, ladies? Andrea, you're the doctor. Can that happen?
Well, we certainly do talk about a male menopause or a manopause, where men tend to get a little bit more paunchy, you know, as the hormones wear down. They gain a little bit of weight around the middle, just like we ladies tend to. But it's not quite the same because they don't have the same dependence on estrogen that we women do.
Well, you know, that's what I mean. I've heard the title and I've heard the phrase where people laugh about it with men. Obviously, physically, that doesn't happen. But I guess emotionally, it can happen, Andrea, you know. Terry, so we've got a different perspective here because, Andrea, you haven't experienced this in life yet. So let's define menopause, first of all, before we go there and say that, you know, I mean, this is something that women can speak, I think, a lot more eloquently probably than moi can, than I can. But Terry, define in your words what you see menopause as, and then we'll get Dr. Andre to chime in here. What really is that? For men like me out there just want to know, what should we expect and what does it mean?
Well, I love it how you turn to the non-physician here.
Well, that's why I wanted to. No, I did that intentionally because I want to get a novice approach. Because, all right, listen. So let me do this then. Before I ask you to do that, Terry, I'm going to answer the question, okay? And I don't know Jack about
that's
this.
That's even better.
I know. I don't know Jack about this, and I haven't been on either side of this thing. So let me just give it a shot here. Okay, so here's what I think it is. I think that it is a period of time when our body, when a woman's body goes through these amazing changes, and how they're able to cope and handle those changes really is reflective of, you know, really the mindset and the people around them and whether they're considered. I mean, you've heard the saying, you know, she's a little bitchy today or something like that, you know, what does that really mean, you know, of course. But guys can be bitchy too. Let's face it. It's not just a woman thing. We all can have our moments in the sun. But I'm just, as I try to dig myself out of this, friends, you know where I'm going here. So I got a shovel today. I don't have a little teaspoon, by the way. I'm going to need a shovel for this episode. Clearly, Malcolm's going to take on a lot here in this program here. But so that I'm guessing it's that change of life where, and it's not when you become a girl to a woman, because that happened far earlier through puberty, but this is where the maturity is, and your body's going through these amazing changes, and you've got to be able to cope with all that. And then, of course, the thing we all know as men is that you get, like, really hot, and you get hot all the time, and and then you don't want to be touched, or you don't want to be, that's what I would understand. You don't want to be touched. You don't want to be bothered. You're really hot. You're moody. You're pissed off. The world owes you everything. And your body's going through these changes. And now that's a man's view of menopause. How did I do, ladies?
I think you did fantastic. I think you defined it better than I could, but, clearly, it's a time in the woman's life, you know, usually starts around 45, or it certainly could come earlier or later. And it's the reducing of the her body stops making, you know, a number of different hormones. In my case, I needed, and yes, I had the hot flashes. I can't say I had that bitchy component as you just described it, but I'm probably not the right person to ask. My family and my husband would be the person to ask there. But it actually gave us, as far as my husband and I, a wonderful opportunity to grow closer as I kind of went through these couple years of changes and really embraced the change. And of course, I did need hormonal some treatment with estrogen and progesterone. But other than that, and a few hot flashes, it was smooth sailing for me. But I know not every woman has that opportunity.
And so, Terry, you didn't murder anybody then?
I didn't. The only thing I did was help defeat, and I took out all my wrath. I helped defeat a very pro-abortion state senator, so he got my wrath for about 18 months. So I usually say he he got the back end of my menopausal phase of my life.
I was just going to say that's great. That's a great way to use all that material for goodwill, huh? I was just going to say, and then the other thing is, you know, when you say with this whole title, menopause and murder, that you didn't murder anybody, but the real question that everybody wants to know is, did anybody want to murder you?
I would say in my family, they probably were saying, Mom, when are you going to let up on the senator? And if I had known that he was actually getting a lot of my wrath from menopause. But I'm not the right one to ask on that. My husband, he would say, yeah, on those days that you were waving yourself cool with a fan, maybe those were the tougher days. I really don't know.
All right. So, Dr. Andrea, we did the heavy lifting here for you, okay, even though you got a better handle on this than us probably. What's your thoughts? What do you think?
Well, Terry described it perfectly. And thank goodness you didn't have your own personal experience drama.
Wait a minute. Did I not describe it perfectly?
Oh, well, yours was okay. We'll fill in the gaps. You did a nice job, actually.
Man,
you
were... I always get slighted on this show. It's terrible, man.
Well, sorry. But yes, it does start around mid-40s, as Terry pointed out. Some women will experience it a bit earlier and some a bit later. And it does coincide with the time that the ovaries stop producing and replicating eggs. And so we typically see a decrease in estrogen and testosterone. And yes, unfortunately, the drop in those hormones can lead to hot flashes. It can lead to insomnia as well as those kind of bitchy moods. You know, some women get really weepy and some get really bitchy. That just varies from woman to woman. The physical signs, besides the insomnia and the hot flashes, some women notice that they gain a lot of weight during that period of time. If there's any vaginal dryness, if they're not on supplementing with some hormones, vaginal atrophy and vaginal dryness, which can also lead to painful intercourse. So I think those are the main ones. And yeah, some women don't feel like they have as much of a libido during their menopausal years. So they're not as frisky as before, but some women find that they're just fine.
Now, I'm wondering that how much impacts your personality before you go through this chapter in life? In other words, some women are very spirited, very jovial, very, you know, comfortable with themselves, and their personality shows that. Others, you know, they don't necessarily have to go through menopause to be called a bitch.
Well,
let me just put
true.
That out there a moment, okay? So, and I'm an equal opportunity. This could be a man too. I'm saying some people are just downright nasty, and you know, you see them out there. So I'm wondering, you know, how much does, in other words, all right? So if you've got two people going through this chapter of their life, Andrea, one is a good spirited personality, knows how to handle things, juggle things. You know, what we consider a person that you want to talk to or connect with. Another one, you know, it's just a handful. You know, you wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole as far as having a conversation with them because you're afraid they'd bite your head off. I wonder how that impacts the chapter of menopause, you as a person, and how you go through that. That's got to have a big factor in it, no?
Well, you can certainly see an amplification of one's underlying personality.
That's
but
a
there
word.
Are a lot of things.
Amplification. There's a lot of,
there are a lot of things that contribute to our temperament and our personality. But yeah, for some women, if they've noticed that they get more bitchy or more moody around their periods, you know, before menopause, they might be a little more susceptible in the early years of menopause when the estrogen starts dipping. They might be the ones that really see that amplification of that moody nature. But it eventually does taper off. It does level off with menopause.
So this chapter in life then where we're dealing with where people are going through this and their family's impacted, I'm just wondering what the tips are for the guys. Now, Terry, this is something you can answer from a viewpoint of, well, you probably can, I think, because you've seen the men around you and how they did it. How much did your husband have to change when you went through that chapter? Like you said, it kind of brought you guys closer together, and you were smart enough to use your frustration on other people who needed to be slapped upside the head.
Well, before I forget, I want to put in a plug that when women are going through this, or if they think they're getting, you know, or it's pre-menopause, it's such a good decision to go get your blood checked, get your hormonal levels checked. You know, your general practitioner can order that blood work, or your OBGYN. And that'll tell you exactly where you're at and what the prescription is, you know, for that. And so I think a lot of women wait until they are experiencing, you know, a lot of the negative side effects. So just putting a plug in there to get your blood checked. I mean, if anything, it would be patience, you know, and I think that's all part of marriage because we live in such a me first kind of world. But as God intended marriage to be, it was I think this would be what my husband would say. It's been an exercise of patience where he's putting me first and not him first until I could get my body, you know, regulated again. And so
well, shouldn't men do that anyway? Shouldn't they always put the woman first? I mean, come on now. Talk to me.
Well, they should. Absolutely. Well, they should.
Ideally. Yeah.
That's the way I was raised. I was raised that way. You know, you put the woman first. I mean, if the boat is sinking, you the women and the children get off first and you go down with the ship. I mean, that's where that all comes from, isn't it?
Well, but we live in a me first world that says, you know, everything is about pleasure and everything is, you know, pleasure. Pleasure is the number one thing. So,
all right. So you have wild, passionate sex on the boat before it goes down and then you get the woman and the kids off and he goes down with it. So what's wrong with that picture, right?
Well, but I mean, for me, it hasn't been that hard. But, you know, it's just me. I mean, I know a lot of women truly go through, you know, tremendous physical or, you know, emotional pain through this time period.
I would echo that, you know, for men, the patience is hugely important. And the one other thing that I would point out is, you know, what I recognized with a lot of couples is sometimes a man didn't know that his woman was going through menopause. And when she was bitchy or moody, when she lost interest in sex, many men explained that they thought it was them. They thought, oh gosh, she's just not into me anymore. Or maybe because I've put on some weight or I've started to lose my hair, maybe she's not into me. And so there really needs to be a lot more communication just to find out what's going on between you.
You know, that's a really good point, Andrea, because I would be the guy that wouldn't know. You understand? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't pry in those situations and want to know. I mean, I don't want to be, I don't want to assume, you know what I mean? Or take it upon me that something is wrong But I think communication has got to be key then. And I think you bring up a very valid point. If couples don't stop and talk about it all, how will he ever know?
Right. And I think that's part of understanding a theology of the body, because we live in a very post-hormonal contraception world. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in the United States and France or, you know, most other places. But if you take just the United States, after all these years now with hormonal contraception, where unfortunately, you know, a lot of teenagers were put on hormonal contraception, so they began to, hormonally deregulate their body, take a perfectly operating body and now make it malfunction. And what I mean by this is that if they've never really understood, because I think that's what we're looking at, is a lot of women who were on the birth control pill for years, you know, I'm talking like 20, 25 years, they never really understood the beauty of how their body works, how God designed their body, obviously very cyclical and just the beauty of all that. And then if they were not married to a man who grew to appreciate that as well. So it was deregulated by the birth control pill. And then when now she's in the menopausal phase, this is a big slap in the man's face, because he never grew to appreciate how the woman's body so beautifully works in its natural state. And so I think this is another dynamic that a lot of couples are going through, because they never really grew to appreciate God's design for the body and how that married couple can interact and respect the way he designed it.
Terry, I you bring up a very interesting point, and I think you probably agree with that, Andrea, from the appreciation of that body that we're speaking about. But you know something? I often think about, it does dawn on me, by the way, how unique our bodies really are. And yeah. I'm often thinking, and like, let me give you an example, both of you. For people who run around thinking that, like, there's no God or he doesn't exist or something, and then you think about, I mean, forget the whole universe and forget the blue marble that's just floating out in the universe, and that we happen to have gravitational pull and the magnetic field here that keeps us all where we belong, and all the wonderful things that we have in life, like, that's us, like, is all an accident somehow. But then you take our body and you think of the intricacy of our brains, and you think the intricacy of our hearts and our lungs and our hands and our legs and our functionality to be a living, breathing creature and to be highly functional as we're functional. I often think about that, ladies, like, wow. I mean, like, how could there not be a God on this basis? We're not the product of monsters here, or, you know, or made from some lower camp. I mean, Andrea, do you know what I'm saying? I mean, do you ever think of that in that? I mean, am I the only one, or do you ever think like that?
I am totally with you, Malcolm. I think the design of the body and understanding consciousness and how our brains are literally wired to know God, to have mystical experiences, to me is incredibly beautiful and delicate, and it's the fascination of my life, really.
See, this is really a great conversation, and I had no idea where we were going to take this menopause and murder that the producer set me up with two very intellectually incredible women here, such as Dr. Andrea Pennington and Terry Beatley. I knew I was in trouble coming into the show, but what I just put out there to me is what I get out of it. But the real question I'm still wondering is why did our producers, Linus Woods Mullins and Beverly Butler, I'm going to give them full credit for this, come up with the title of Menopause and Murder, and why did they do this to Malcolm Out Loud today? And why can't, and you know, the other thing we're going to try to do for you all today is to get an answer to you from Terry and Andrea as to what the connection of menopause and murder is, because as Terry just put it out there, she didn't murder anybody and nobody murdered her, obviously, so that there was no connection in her life. Maybe there are others. Maybe there's some fascinating stories or something in the back life of Linus and Beverly that would tell us as to why they think people going through menopause would want to murder. I don't know. There's something more to this story, friends. I don't know what it is. We're going to get to the bottom of it just ahead. We'll be right back. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you.
It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I am Dr. Andrea Pennington, and today we have Terry Beatley and, of course, Malcolm Out Loud. So, Malcolm, I have to tell you, I do have a very dear friend and colleague who shared a pretty funny, murderous type of a story. She noticed that as she was going through menopause, now she was clueless. She didn't know what was going on. She was just feeling kind of heavy, very lethargic. She noticed that she was putting on weight. And the way that her menopausal symptoms manifested was memory loss. And I know you've probably heard a lot of women talk about, you know, they're having a menopause moment or a senior moment when they can't remember things, you know, simple things. But she ended up going to her general practitioner, and the doctor said, oh, you know, if it's your memory, let's send you to a neurologist. And they ended up doing brain scans, and they did all sorts of tests on her, and they basically told her she was dying. And she literally thought that it was the end of her life. Until someone just happened to notice that, you know, she was also very sweaty. And she's like, it looks like you're having a hot flash. Are you hot right now? And she's like, what do you mean by hot flash? And she said, well, you know, it kind of comes and goes. You get really, really hot and you feel like you got to take off all your clothes and you're eating ice chips and, you know, fanning yourself. She's like, yes, it does happen. I thought it was coming from my brain. And the woman's like, no, you're just going through menopause. And so when she got her hormones checked, just like you pointed out, Terry, she discovered that, yeah, your hormones are on their way down. This is menopause. You're not dying.
Wow. And nobody got murdered, right?
No. Fortunately, she like you, Terry, she has a beautiful husband who was so patient and was so kind and was just so supportive. And once they figured out what it was, they had a good laugh about it. He was worried for her, but he never wanted to murder her, thankfully.
You know, I bet you there's some case history on this we could look up, and we should, about people. I bet this exists in the court of law, actually, where people have blamed a nefarious thing like again, murder on menopause. I bet it's happened.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know,
I mean, it can be tricky for us when we go through that estrogen withdrawal period, you know,
she didn't mean it. She didn't mean it. She just whacked out. It was a bad time. Her, you know, her cycle was going crazy and she decided to put a knife in him. But the son of a bitch deserved it, Your Honor.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to the majority of women going through this.
Well, you know what I wonder on that note, Terry, is what do kids think about this? You know, growing up, I never understood as a young boy. I always thought like menopause was a dirty word. Yeah, I didn't really know. Like nobody really explained to me. I thought it was something like really dirty, like menopause. Like, oh, what is it that women do that? It's like when they shed their skin, like a spider that sheds their skin. Oh, that's gross, man. And this is what I thought as a little boy. You can see little Malcolm running around now and at the menopause. Oh, it's a spider that shedded his skin.
Well, I used to associate it with just like old age. But I don't know. I mean, for me, I just look at it as, you know, the way God's designed our lives. I mean, a lot of times it's phases, but if we can try to, search for the good in it, search for the beauty in it. So, I mean, I don't know, from a kid's perspective, when the kids would see me fanning myself, it was more like a joke. Mom, because I was always known to be the cold one in the family. In my 20s, 30s, I guess most of my 40s, I get cold so easily. And so for them to see me shedding my coat in the middle of winter, to them, it was hilarious.
from a temperature wise, you mean? Okay. I was going to say, Terry, you have a lovely personality. Why would they think you're cold? I thought you meant like your personality was cold.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, my God, what a family you got.
No, just physically cold. But again, I guess I really feel for women who, you know, go through this and either they can't find the solutions You know, and it's all I can encourage is go get your blood checked. And it's more than just, you know, I mean, go get your live blood checked so they can check it for everything needs to be checked so you can get around the right kind of dosage. And again, like for me, it was I have to take progesterone and estrogen to be regulated correctly.
Now, do you take the once you go through this, do you have to take things like for the rest of your life after this? Or is this like a real I don't know this. Is this?
I think so. As far as I know, I have to take it the rest of my life. But that's actually a question I have not asked. I just knew I needed to take it.
Do you know
the
answer to that, Andrea?
Well, you know what? It depends on the woman. There are many women who are very afraid of taking estrogen and progesterone because, you know, over a decade ago, there was a big scare that they believed that being on hormones could potentially cause cancer, like uterine cancer and or aggravate breast cancer. And we certainly know that if a woman has breast cancer and she has a type that is estrogen dependent or has these little special estrogen receptors, she is not a good candidate for any type of estrogen therapy, including during menopause. But there are ways around that. So for a woman who might be a little bit scared about cancer, she could just do local therapy, meaning just using suppositories or vaginal creams with estrogen. Some women will only do it for a year or two while the symptoms are really, really bad, and then stop because they don't want to be on it for long term, in just in case there's this increased risk of cancer. But right now, you know, it's really an individual thing that a woman would have to talk to her doctor and look at her family for risk factors, you know, for cancers and such. But we do know that being on estrogen is really helpful for the brain. It's helpful for our blood vessels in keeping them healthy. So there you go.
What age do women go through this menopause business?
It does start around the mid-40s. Some women can be a little bit earlier, and some hold off into their 50s before they see any symptoms.
Okay, so it varies greatly. Talk to me now, what I know most of our guys that are listening want to know, what about men? What do we go through?
Well, men typically start much later. When your testosterone starts to decrease, that's generally when you'll see men starting to put on a little bit more weight. They might have a little bit of a slowdown in their sex drive, but it's not generally the same kind of moodiness. You won't see a man having problems with hot flashes and those sorts of things because it's really the estrogen that causes that for women, that, you know, what we call vasomotor symptoms. Hmm. And men just, they just sort of slow down. They don't really have the mood swings typically. You know, what I've heard from people as families, you know, either break up or the kids are finally off and having their own kids, there can be almost like a second midlife crisis where some men, you know, after the first midlife crisis, they go through another one where it's kind of like, you know, what is my life all about? And that can be a time of getting moody when they're looking for meaning or looking for some sort of an outlet, especially if their wife has slowed down and they no longer have kids to worry about. So some men, as they hit that sort of male menopause, will start looking for a way to create their legacy, whether that's through a new business or, you know, charity.
Why is it we do that and we wait to a point of our life? This is something I'm experiencing myself, you know, and although I've always been driven in my whole life to want to understand life and what it's about and, you know, where do we go with this thing? But I find that even more now, it's even more important to me, Andrea, Terry, that, you know, again, I hate to use those words, but the legacy word or what is, and I find myself a lot of the times trying to understand more about life. What is it really about? And what are we supposed to be doing? I mean, we all have a journey, a destination. We don't know really what it is. You know, it's funny. I don't know. We all have, there's a destiny for all of us. We're born, we're here, we pay taxes, and then we die. Those three things you can guarantee. born, taxes, and die, right? That's what they always say. That was always some of the jokes around the water cooler, right? So here we are, and I'm wondering now why we wait till we get to that point of life where we realize, I guess it's because the clock is ticking. And then we do the math real quick and say, oh man, I'm already like past 50% of my life. Now I'm on the down cycle or something. And there's this whole thing that kind of trips you out, I think. Have you all experienced this as well, or is this just a guy thing?
In my life, the other 100% for sure thing that's going to happen is I will face my maker one day. And, you know, again, kind of keeping it back on murder and menopause, you know, I guess this ties in with the murder part. Sooner or later, we are going to die. And so at the end of the day, we are going to face our maker and who has given us this life. And we're going to be held accountable for what we've done for it. So I don't look at this aging process, though, as like negative. You know, a lot of people have hangups like when they turn 30 or 40. I mean, I know a lot of people do have problems with it. For me, and this is someone who suffered with rheumatoid arthritis as well, I don't look at as I age as something that's negative, because I'm preparing for where I'm going. And again, I don't know how this ties back with menopause, but other than,
well, it's a life journey. How it ties back, Terry, is it's a life journey. You know, it's a life journey we're on. Yeah. And the menopause is just a moment, or manopause, and the idea that it's men that go through their change of life too, as Andre was just spelling out with testosterone and all of that. It's a journey in life. So it's a step on that path through life.
Right.
And I guess your belief structure does play into that quite a bit, Terry. You know, where if you have a belief structure that you're going to have, that there is a divine higher power, and that there is a chapter after you take your last breath, right? That's got to play a big part of this, Terry.
Well, it's a huge part, because, I mean, it's a worldview. So we can answer, you know, those important questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going to go when I die? And what went wrong with the world, you know, as far as, you know, some of the tough things that the world faces, the evil that's in the world. So I guess I look at this as a phase, and I'm thankful, to have the support structure around me, because I think it's part of community and a part of fellowship, a part of relationships. Yeah. That, you know, we care and we love for one another as we go through these phases of life.
I don't know if you all will like this question, but I got to ask it anyways. And this is something I always think about somehow. I don't know why, and maybe you can explain to me why I think about this question, because I don't know why I think about this question, but here's the question. When you do expire and you leave the planet and you die, as everybody will at some point, this is just a fact, my friends, nobody is going to live forever. I wonder, the day after you die, that you're gone and you leave this earth, is it all the same? Does it all go on? Is life still what it is the following day? That you're not here somehow, or does life in that dimension somehow end? In other words, how heavy is that? At least, I don't know, how heavy is that? That what happens the day after? Like, people just pick up and move on, and like, life is still there, but you're not there. Your energy, your being, your life is not there. Your soul is going on, and you're not sort of here.
Well, hopefully, if you've lived a life of meaning, and as Terry pointed out, in community, it's going to hurt someone. It's going to affect, it doesn't even have to be pain, but yeah, it's going to affect someone. Life cannot go on as usual, because, you know, the divine created us each to have a part and a place in this little puzzle of life. So if we all have our own unique place and all these various relationships that we fit into, there is going to be a period of time right after we pass, and it could be many years after, where the rest of the world is going to feel it, will feel your absence. And, you know, to come back to something that you started off with, which was, you know, why do we get to this point of our life where we start thinking these morbid thoughts, or we start thinking about legacy? And, you know, I think Terry's right. It's a worldview. It's a cultural phenomenon that if you were brought up in a very, say, religious household, you might be thinking about that day that you're going to meet your maker much earlier than someone else who's just kind of going through the social programming that says, okay, it's your early life. You know, you go out there, you make a name for yourself, you get a job, then you get a family, and you're very focused on what's going on the planet. And then it's after all that stuff wears off and you realize, okay, I had the job, I had the woman, I had the kids. What is my life really about? Most people, if they haven't been, you know, in a religious background or culturally sensitized to think about death early, it just happens as we naturally slow down and our priorities shift.
Wow. Boy, I'll tell you, that is so heavy. to me, all of it is. Really, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, man. Man, this is a real downer for me today, Terry, you know?
Oh, why?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be.
Menopause.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm you know what I'm going through, and I'll share it with you right now.
What's that?
So here's what I'm going through. So as we record this today, so I just had a physical at the doctor's just a few days ago. And I just got a phone call message just before I came on air with you both that they need to talk to me quickly. It was in a message that they have some results back and need to talk to me quickly. I have not spoke to them yet. In fact, I wasn't sure I was going to do the show with you both. And I thought, and I couldn't reach them in time, which is why I was delayed a few minutes before we taped the production. And I thought, that's okay. I'll just go on with the menopause and murder thing and we'll see what happens. And I haven't spoke to them yet, but I just, it all just sort of hit me coming on to the show today with you. And so I don't know what all that means, but I've been feeling very interesting in recent times. As I've been looking at this big world picture of ours and where we're at and, you know, as a young boy and all the great things I wanted to do in this life and where are we really at now and what have we done and why does it really matter and what happens after the fact and who really gives a good shit?
Those are, that's a good question. And, all I can think right now is these are the times in life when, you know, as believers, you know, whatever, you know, with whatever, you know, they're going to be telling you is that's when you trust in the Lord with all your strength and you lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And when you can walk with that kind of faith, as you do, whatever they're getting ready to tell you, you'll get through it. And it's, and then you can, I don't know, it's the place you can always reside in knowing that, that he's in control.
Right. And, I understand that. I'm hoping it's tickets to Disney World, by the way, that they're calling me for, but I don't really know. And if that's the case, that would be like murder because I hate Disney World and I don't want to go there either. So I don't even know why I picked that one. Maybe it's a trip to Costa Rica to the rainforest, huh?
No, Malcolm, it could be free tickets to Disney with 30 women who are struggling with menopause.
Oh, my. Now, that would be menopause and murder. You just defined the whole show, Terry Beatley. Perfect. Perfect. You just defined the whole show right there, man. I got to give it to you, Terry.
You know, it's like the football players, you know, and they're like, I'm going to Disney World. Malcolm will be saying, I'm going to Disney World with 30 or menopausal women who've left their hormones at home.
I do find it interesting. And part of the thing for me, Terry, is this. You know, I grew up in the Nazarene church, a young boy in Protestant church, you know. And as you know, Terry, the Nazarene church is pretty strict, you know. I mean, pretty strict path, you know. And
too strict for me, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that because I did not. Yeah, it was too much for me, too, quite frankly. I remember the one Sunday I got locked in the church and they didn't know they left me there. This is how much my family loved me.
Oh, my gosh.
They left me in the locked. This is a true story. I was in the locked church and they all went home and didn't know I wasn't in the car.
Oh, how old were you?
But I digress. Yeah, really. I was about 8 or 9 years old, right in that area, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And right about there, Andrea. Yeah. And so, I did. I was locked in there. But I remember growing up in that environment, and I remember thinking that I was here on Earth to do some really cool things. Mm-hmm. Well, people lately keep telling me, "Oh, Malcolm, you've got to be really high and thrilled and excited, and like this network you got is kicking butt, and things are going great, and all of this and that, and you know, and it's not enough for me. It's not enough for me." And why? Because I've always known I was going to be here to do very interesting things around the world, around the globe, and to impact people's lives and to be here. And that was my path forward. So when people say, so it's funny because at this point of my life where people say, oh, you're such a success, you're such a this, that. And yet when I look internally, I feel like a complete failure.
Your ambition, it still hasn't died off. You're not in your menopause yet.
I don't know where I'm at, but I'll tell you, I feel like I'm on a fast moving train somewhere, and it's like a whodunit, and there's a murder scene going on in the next cabin next door here, and I'm in with a bunch of women, well, 10 women on this show, and they're all going through menopause, and I'm just here sitting here, Lord help me here, hang on, I'm hanging on today with Dr. Andrea Pennington and Terry Beatley, and we'll be back in a moment here.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutLoud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You think about taking those moments in life, and menopause is one of those moments in life, and you think about how do people relate to that, and you think about men and what we go through in our lives, and then you think about the very personal thing I just shared with you on air here just moments ago, and you're the first ones to hear it here as we do this recording today with you all, you don't really know these. I guess I look at life now as chapters. And they're all various chapters of life. Now, some chapters were more exciting. Other chapters, maybe not so much. And the one problem I have, Terry and Andrea, is the chapters that I wish I could rewrite.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're all in the same boat there.
Those chapters bother me. What do we do with those chapters, ladies?
Well, that's the tricky one. I don't do well with regret. I think I've mentioned that to you before. It's one of those things that, if I feel it, you know, soon as I'm, you know, about to do something or not do something, I will make a change. It's just a commitment I have to not live with regret. So if there's a chapter of my life that feels icky or I regret in some way, I use it as a learning example to really go deep within, like, why did I make those choices? Why did I, you know, maybe sacrifice or compromise or whatever it is that I did? Because you can't get that time back, but what we can do is build toward a positive future.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is the game plan, I think, for every single one of us, is understanding where your life is intrinsically and where you're going to go with it and what is the next step and how do we really get there. Now, if you're dealing with a wife or a wife, a girlfriend, a sister, a mother, what have you, that is going through this whole change of life cycle, which is really bringing this train back onto the track from the dead of the mountain, of course. Okay, the question is, how should men be able to handle that in their lives? As I digress, how should we be able to handle that and knowing the various stages that women go through? I like to have positive influences around me. So the one thing I've never experienced life, for me anyways, and maybe a lot of you guys out there cannot relate to this, but I don't deal with people who are a pain in the ass, who are, whether it's menopause or whether it's manopause or whether it's any kind of a pause, that I don't deal with that well. I like positive energy influences that are going to make us feel better and do well and reach higher. And I don't know. So I think who we surround ourselves with in this life and those immediate people, it does give you pause, for me at least, to think about, okay. And I love what you just said, Andrea. I love what you just said about, you know, because I often pride myself also in not trying to live with regret. I don't live in the past. I've never lived in the past. But yet I find myself thinking a lot lately these days, what are some of those chapters? But how do we really move forward gracefully if we don't know some of the chapters back then that sort of maybe we could have done a little differently? Maybe we can use that as positive energy, no? As we push forward, is that possible?
I think so. I think it's always possible. I mean, the karma is actually not fixed. It's not set in stone. We can build up positive karma, you know, something they call merit. So looking back at any mistakes you've made, and, you know, you bring up the idea of people and relationships. If we make sure that we're bringing our best to every relationship, you know, you mentioned you don't want to be around pain in the butt people. Well, we also need to make sure that we're not the pains in somebody else's butts.
Well, I don't think people really do that, though, Andrea. That's a hell of a point. I don't think people know that they are a pain in the ass.
I think you're right, but you do, and you can lead by example. And so that's what you've been saying this whole conversation is really like, wow, you're recognizing that your life is going in a direction that has caused you some pain. And it can give us that moment to pause, reflect, and choose again, and make sure that we're honoring the relationships that we have, honoring the body, as Terry pointed out, it is a gift from God. Hmm. So honor your body. And even if you've been bad to it, or some of us, you know, abused it in our early years, we can make it right by honoring it now and treasuring it now.
Terry, reflect on that for a moment, and I'll tell you why. I'm anxious to get your view on that when she says pause, reflect, and maybe re-energize. I'll add one more word to it, but, you know, pause, reflect, and then take further steps to think, okay, relate to that in your aspect as a Christian and where you go with that.
Wow. I'm just trying to tie it back into the topic at hand today, menopause and murder. Well, without getting too religiosity here, I just believe that, we have one life to live here on earth, you know, and are we living it where we can stand in front of our Maker and say, you know, did we love as God loves? And so, and in that context, are we able to go through life with all these different chapters that we're given? Some of these chapters, it's almost like we create them. And then you have other chapters where it's like, wow, is that chapter being written not by my hand, but by the hand of God? Kind of tying it in with my personal journey going through menopause, what I did not share is that when I was going through menopause, what did happen is I suddenly came down with rheumatoid arthritis, as well as my daughter was beginning to get sick. And this has been now a 7-year journey. And what I just received a diagnosis from the other day after years of prayer is that both my daughter and I are sick with Lyme's disease, and she has her ailments because of Lyme's. I have rheumatoid arthritis because of Lyme's. And so when I was going through menopause, I was like, whew, I'm glad I'm only getting hot flashes because I've got to deal with rheumatoid arthritis. It was told to me that a lot of women who are going through menopause also develop rheumatoid arthritis. But I can tell you right now, this chapter of my book, I'm going to be healed of rheumatoid arthritis because I know without doubt I have it because of Lyme's, not because I went through menopause. And so the way I look at my life is sometimes it's almost like I begin to pen the next chapter of my life, but then sometimes, you know, and I'll give God all the glory for this, is he always interjects his story in every one of the chapters of my life. Because when I say, you know, and I think this can help a lot of people who may be listening, is that if we don't have a prayer life, because we are spiritual beings, our body is just it's a physical matter, but God made us so it's spirit plus the physical. And so when we deny either one or the other, thinking that we're all just supposed to be about pleasure, it kicks our butt sooner or later. And so my point in sharing this is that we may be going through different chapters, and these chapters can be really ugly. For me, this journey of menopause and being slammed by rheumatoid arthritis at the same time, only to culminate 7 years later finding out I have Lyme's disease. My body's riddled with it, but I'm proclaiming it that I'm going to be healed. So menopause, shoot, that's nothing compared to this journey with rheumatoid arthritis and Lyme's. So it's a different perspective. But I'm going to get through it, and I'm going to be rejoicing that God, my Maker, is going to provide the cure all the way down to, there are only 3 doctors in Virginia that specialize in Lyme's.
Yeah, it's a highly specialized field for sure. We've covered that on our talk show, on our national talk show, and we've covered it. And as I've shared with you prior as well, Terry, that our health coach, Beverly Butler, is very much aware of this whole, you need to have a conversation with her. She's experienced it with her daughter in her own life, and she's experienced it with many other people, and knows a fair amount about this topic. I thank you for sharing that, because I think that should give everybody pause a moment in a bigger way to understand that, you know, to overcome these things. Sometimes you have to put it out there, like you just did, Terry, you know, and say, you know what, this is what I got. This is what's happened, but it's not going to get the best of me, you know.
Well, it's kind of like you, Malcolm. I mean, you're very transparent, and I feel like I'm supposed to be transparent with these things. I shared on another one of your shows, you know,
right.
The you know, addictions and things like
this. We're helping you become more transparent, Terry Beatley. Go ahead. That's what the show is, very holistic in nature. Go ahead.
Right.
As you were.
Oh, no. That's I just think it's important to be transparent. So,
I just think that's so much better in life. That's, you know, I got to tell you both, Terry and Andre, that's where the whole notion of Out Loud comes from. It's funny because when Out Loud became Out Loud, it was called for me, what I called it was the Out Loud Truth. And then when I made Malcolm Out Loud a registered trademark and Out Loud was the whole story of the day, it's because I found people being very pretentious in life. And I found a lot of the people that were talking weren't really speaking out loud about anything, but they were just dealing with a lot of the mass hysteria and the confusion about what was really going on in their life. And so then I felt, okay, that's where this whole Out Loud Truth is coming from. And then I thought, okay, leaders at the mic, how do we get the leaders that are being quiet now, silenced, to the mic so we can solve some of the big problems of the day? So that's where the whole Out Loud Truth came from, and then Out Loud came from. Whereas a lot of people, they hear Out Loud and they think the direct opposite somehow, like, oh, got some loudmouth, obnoxious SOB. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with being real. It's got to do with being honest, authentic. You know, I love the word authentic, you know. When you can live an authentic life of who you are, you don't have to make, you know, you don't have to make up excuses. And you don't have to worry about every other lie you told in the past, week, you know, or two with people, right?
Amen to that. And I think the other benefit of your transparency, Malcolm, is it gives people, other people, permission, because we do hide so many of our own secrets and so many of our own suffering and just sometimes just our own, you know, personality or opinion. So I thank you for doing that. And I wish both of you, you know, complete vitality and all of God's health as you move forward, for sure.
The show obviously has become very holistic in nature this afternoon with all of us, and a feeling of, a feeling of the fact of self-worth and self-responsibility and self-awareness, if you will, that we need to be aware of what's going on in our lives. I consider that a great compliment, what Andrea just put out there, because for me, it really is about being authentic with all of us out there, with all of you and our listeners. And I so appreciate you and appreciate you being part of this experiment, if you will. You know, this show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, was a concept. It was a very unique idea that came to me as I was traveling back from a trip, actually, from a conference. And then I stopped in the mountains for a few days to try to catch my breath. And by the way, and in doing so, and it was kind of cool because it was snowing out and we experienced a little snow with the kids and all that. It was really fun. And then I realized after that, you know, I thought it's time to, you know, rock the canoe a little bit. And this whole concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure came about. And then what's really cool is to be able to connect with the extraordinary people, specifically women around the globe that have become part of this show, is very interesting. And we're so early on here in the production of this, but it is very, it feels really good. It feels like, how do I say, you know, when you put on a really comfortable pair of jeans, ladies, and they just fit perfectly and you feel good in them?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this show feels like. It just feels like a good pair of jeans.
Well, that's good. Then enjoy it.
Yeah.
You've worked hard for it.
Yeah. Well, how can it not, with all the interest in conversation and all the, and we're all over the place sometimes, you bet. And we're talking about all kinds of things that we can talk about. And that's what I find a great value with. So
well, it's now, there are few men who could deal with a harem of 10 women and be able to talk to us about all these different, without fighting and without, you know, personal affliction. So my hat's off to you. Bravo.
Well, not only that, but then the two women producers get back and get even with me by giving me a title called Menopause and Murder and say, take this. And that really happened. And all I got in was the title, you know, with the thought, okay, go do this show with Terry and Andrea. Will you? Yeah, we think you guys are cool enough and big enough to do it. Okay, here we are, man. So when we started today, we kind of took it from there. But that's the nature of this conversation and the dialogue and why it's so cool. So you can hear this show every day again, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the live version that you'll hear on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And we replay it again at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you can get it anywhere in the world. We also throw it out. You can connect with me on Twitter, at Malcolm Out Loud. You can connect with all of our hosts. All their Twitter feeds are right on AmericaOutLoud.com. In fact, you'll get a little write-up on each, links to their website, and more of their Twitter feeds. Please go find all of that at AmericaOutLoud.com. Just click the Life Liberty link on the front page, and you'll be right there. And there's a whole lot there on that page, as well as all the previous shows that you can listen to. And we appreciate you being with us today and appreciate you putting it out there for folks. We're just getting started here, friends. And again, Dr. Andrea Pennington, Terry Beatley, this is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued.